Good evening. My name is Rob. I'm a vicar here at Christ the King. And my task this evening, well, first of all, is to add my welcome to the welcome that Eleanor gave you. And my task is just to unpack for a little while this theme of hope that we've been thinking about this evening. What I really just want to do, first of all, is just keep going, so that I can watch Joe do that, because it looks beautiful. So thank you, Joe. Let me tell you a story of a man who is struggling home late at night. He's clearly looking very sad. He's looking without hope. He's got a bottle of gin in one hand and a bottle of whiskey in the other, bent down, not looking in a great place. And another man comes up beside him, puts his hands underneath the bottles, and just does that and raises them up. And the first man says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm just trying to lift your spirits." The only way is up. Now, what I want to do this evening, our theme is hope is coming, as you've seen. And I just want to reflect for a while and ask that question: what does hope look like for you this Christmas? What does hope look like for you this Christmas? Maybe does hope look like holidays? Holidays are coming. The Coke ad that they wheel out every year. Holidays are coming, holidays are coming. You know the one? It's probably out. I haven't seen it, but it's probably there this year. And we all need a rest. We all need a break. I love that picture behind me. The family scene of everyone having a rest with their brand new socks. It's the middle of the winter. It's cold. It's rainy. It's dark. On that note, today is the shortest day. So do you know what that means? It starts getting longer! Yay! Fantastic. We want to rest at this time of year. Maybe holidays for you look like watching a bit more TV than usual. In the Bewley household, we splash out and we buy the Radio Times at this time of year. It's the one time in the year when we do it. So now we know what all the programmes are that we're not going to watch. If you want to go for pity for us at the moment, our set-top box is dodgy at the moment, to say the least. It's a little bit temperamental, so you're never quite sure if it's going to work or not, and it can't get repaired until the 8th of January. It's a first world problem if ever there was one, isn't it? We can still get the normal TV, but we can't record stuff. And yeah, our life is just too difficult to plan in stuff like that. Anyway, talking of temperamental, maybe holidays mean time with family and loved ones. They might even be the same people, your family and your loved ones. But to be honest, for many, that time with family, there will be tensions. There will be bust ups. Some of them of those are alcohol-fueled. Some of them are just because, for some extended families, it's the one time in the year they get together, and some of those tensions boil over. It's a sad but true fact that suicide rates and divorce rates are higher straight after Christmas than any other time of the year. And then, if you've had the holidays, then what do you have to do? You have to go back to work. Or back to whatever you were doing in January. Maybe hope looks like holidays for you. Maybe hope looks like the offers. Who's waiting till Tuesday to do their Christmas shopping so that they can get a last-minute deal when the shopkeepers are desperate to flog off that stuff that they can't use afterwards? I won't ask for a show of hands on that one. Maybe you all did your shopping, or a duck when I come under here. Maybe you all did your shopping on Black Friday instead. I remember the good old days when Black Friday was only one day. Black Friday seems to go on for at least a week these days. Or maybe you're a Boxing Day sales kind of person. You say to all your friends and relatives, "Just give me cash, please, for Christmas so that I can go out and spend and get what I really want." I had a friend who, the Boxing Day sales were probably her most significant ritual of Christmas, more than the turkey and the tree and anything else. I don't know if they still do it. Maybe someone can tell me afterwards. But Next always used to have their sale starting at silly o'clock in the morning on Boxing Day. And so she would get up, I would say at the crack of dawn, but it's earlier than the crack of dawn, queue up to be one of the first ones into the local next, with hordes of others to rapidly go around the store grabbing this, 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 and this, spending lots of money. You couldn't try it on. They won't let you try things on because there's not enough space in store. Take all the things home. Then, of course, find half the things don't actually fit or don't suit. And then you're not allowed to take them back for a few days until the sale is over and then get all your money back. Quite an interesting ritual. Obviously, Charles doesn't think much of it either. There you go. These days, it's actually, of course, if you really want to do shopping, you don't even have, sadly, you don't even have to wait till Boxing Day, do you? I think some of the online stores have their sales on Christmas Day. If you didn't know that, then I wasn't the one who told you. But when we have an offer, there's always the question, how good was the offer that we got? Was it really a good deal, or was it not? Was it really at that price for 30 days or however long beforehand, before the price got slashed? I used to work in marketing, so I know something about offers. And I know that if you benefit from an offer, the chances are you're doing well because people who don't benefit from the offer are, in effect, funding that for you. Because if you do a deal, then you know that only a certain percentage of people are going to go for it. If everyone went for it, it would bankrupt the company. Just remember, for those of you old enough, remember the Hoover flights to New York fiasco. If you're younger than a certain age, ask someone who looks a bit older and they might tell you about it. Don't say it was I who suggested they looked older, by the way. But actually, I had another friend who also worked in the same department as me, who, if he actually responded to an offer, always kind of thought, oh, I've been had by the marketing man, and I feel a little bit as if he's got me. And when there's an offer, aren't you always asking, what's the catch? What's the catch? I think particularly these days with online shopping, when I'm giving my details here, what are they going to do with them? Who is going to use them? How much junk email am I now going to receive? Or how many pop-up ads am I going to now appear when I'm browsing? And it's dangerous, isn't it? I remember last year, I did a bit of browsing looking at walking frames for my elderly mother. And now for the next 3 months, whatever site I'm looking at, I'm getting ads for walking frames. I don't want one, thank you. Offers always seem to come with a bit of a catch, or do they? Maybe for you, hope looks like presents. Yes. The giving and receiving of presents is, of course, a good tradition. It reflects the Magi who brought those first presents of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus, representing those very symbolic gifts for him. Giving and receiving of presents reflects the story of the 4th century bishop, Saint Nicholas. We know what that name has become. Famed for giving gifts to the poor, the disadvantaged, those who wouldn't otherwise get anything. But don't you just sometimes stop and think, where have we got to in terms of the whole thing of gift giving and gift receiving? Now, I'm sure this is not the case in your own family. I'm sure it isn't. But don't you think that so many presents are given by people who actually don't really want to buy them, for people who, when they receive them, don't really want what they've got? Maybe that's a jaundiced view. Maybe that's just me. But it can get a bit ridiculous at times, can't it? I heard a thing on the radio last week. There was a phone in or a text in about gift giving. And this one man who said, in terms of gift exchanging, I bought my mum a £30 gift voucher for Christmas, and she's given me £40 in cash. So I'm £10 quids in. It does seem a little bit strange. Or maybe if you're get a little bit fed up with buying lots and lots of presents, some people opt for the Secret Santa approach, don't they? So that you get to buy maybe a more meaningful present rather than lots and lots of little presents for one person. Our staff team, we do that. We've done that for the last couple of years. So we call it the Mystery Magi. I always say, why does the big fat red guy in the suit get all the credit? So that's why we call it something different. Last year, actually, in my family, my extended family, we also did a Secret Santa. We hadn't come up with the name Mystery Magi by then. And you know the idea, don't you? You all pick a name and you just buy a present for one person, and you normally have a limit on how much you're going to spend. And that way everyone gets one present, and hopefully it's something worthwhile, something that they might actually want. My wife organised the Secret Santa for my extended family last year. When we opened up presents on Christmas Day, she got two and I got none. I suspect foul play. Yes, Di Johnson, you were involved in that process, I remember. I organised it this year and I'm very nervous as to how it's going to be. I hope it all works out. Hope maybe looks like holidays. Maybe it looks like the offers. Maybe it looks like presents. But at the end of the day, sadly, sometimes what follows is emptiness. You know, it might be after you've opened up all your presents and you're not quite sure what to do with the rest of the day because you've been through your Radio Times and you're not sure what there is you want to watch and the board games that you were hoping to get you didn't get. Or maybe you've eaten too much and all you want to do is sleep. Or maybe Christmas is fine, but then you take your decorations down in January and everything seems a bit bare. Well, you take your decorations down apart from that one that always gets forgotten. And you find it in June, or you realise it's there in June. But everything just seems a little bit bare, and it's January, and it's cold, and it's wet. If you noticed on the slides, as we put it, that word hope has been fading until it's barely visible. And maybe hope there has faded. Yeah, I probably haven't raised your spirits very much yet, have I, so far? So maybe we need an alternative story of hope. Let's get rid of all that, and let's bring our hope back up. I want to give you an alternative story of hope. What hope can look like. Hope can look like him, Jesus. I don't know if that's what Jesus looks like. No one really knows what Jesus looked like, but I've deliberately shown there a picture of an adult Jesus because it's easy at this time of year to focus so much on the little baby in the manger, and that's really important. We can forget he grew up to become the man who did such extraordinary things. Now, I was at a school production the other day. Tend to see quite a lot of those at this time of year. And the children had done a thing about what Christmas means. And it was great because it was all the things that you would expect. You know, turkey, presents, tree, Christmas pudding, carols, games, toys, family, all those kind of things. But they were all things. And Christmas is actually not about a thing, but about a person, about him. A person who did the most extraordinary thing ever. God became man. God became man. Gave up the glory of heaven. He existed since the beginning of time and came to be not even a man, but a tiny baby. Not even a tiny baby, but a fetus. Completely dependent on his mother. Literally. It is mind-blowing, if you think about it. Mind-blowing. And something that we can celebrate not just at Christmas, but we can celebrate every day. By which I don't mean become one of those people. You come across them or you read about them or see them in documentaries. These eccentrics who, I apologize if there's anyone here like it, who celebrates Christmas every day. And they have a tree up all year round and they have turkey and stuffing for dinner every day and they have crackers every day. Crackers is probably an appropriate word, but it's probably a politically incorrect word, so I won't use it. Hope is about him. And you know, hope is also, it is about an offer. An offer that Jesus came to bring, as we say on the banner over there, life in all its fullness. Not emptiness, but fullness. That's what he came to bring us. He didn't come to tell us to stop doing this and stop doing that and stop doing that. He came that we might have life. Life that is truly life. He came to bring us freedom. He came to bring us forgiveness. He died. He was born, but then he died. And he died that we might have life. As it says in Mark's Gospel, he came and gave his life as a ransom. That means he bought us freedom by taking on his shoulders in his life punishments for wrongdoings that we have done so that we can be free. Maybe you've heard that so many times that it washes over you. Or maybe you're hearing it for the first time today. Just think about it. Better than Black Friday. Better than the Boxing Day sales. It is the best offer ever. What does hope look like? Maybe hope looks like peace. Jesus is called a lot of things, and we heard it in our first reading. He's called the Prince of Peace. Paul, in his letter to the church in Philippi, says that if we present our requests, our needs, our concerns to God, we're told we will have peace that passes understanding. Peace that passes understanding. What does that mean? Does it mean some higher state of consciousness where we're in some state of stillness? No. But it does mean, I believe, a sense of peace that belies our circumstances. We're going through a rotten time, maybe feeling more peaceful than makes sense. If we've had to face sadness, illness, bereavement, we're still going to be sad, but maybe having more peace than is logical. That's one of the gifts that Jesus came to bring to us, because we can hand over to him our worries, our concerns, our pains, knowing that he loves us and that we can trust him. Because there's lots of anxiety around in our world, lots of anxiety around in our nation, probably lots of anxiety in your lives, maybe even at this time of year more than others. And peace is a great offer, as is freedom and forgiveness. And this doesn't end on Twelfth Night. This doesn't end next year. This is for eternity. I believe this life is preparation for the next life, the life that is truly life. This life is the gateway to the next life. Andrew read us our final reading from Peter's letter that we find towards the end of the Bible. It's not a passage that is usually read at carol services, but I thought it was so appropriate as we think of this theme of hope. See, it talks about the future revelation of Jesus Christ. So when we say hope is coming, it's not just that in 3 days' time we think about Jesus coming for the first time as a baby. But we know, we've been assured, that he will come again at the end of time. And we will have the privilege of being with him if we've given our lives on this earth to him. Hope is coming. And what he gives us, we're told, is greater than gold. I don't know if you're hoping for any gold presents this year. I wish you well if you are. But we're told that what he offers is greater than gold. And it's an inheritance that doesn't fade. That hope word in these slides has not faded away. The hope is still there. An inheritance that will not fade whatever we face. It is, as Peter puts it, a living hope. A living hope. And what I love about this passage, at this time when we talk about the birth of the baby Jesus, it talks about new birth for us. New birth into a living hope. In following Jesus, we're given a new life. We can be born afresh, born again. And this passage also recognizes the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties that this life can bring. It doesn't brush over them. It doesn't pretend they don't exist. It recognizes that life is often hard, but we can look forward with hope. And that hope does not fade and will not fade. If that's something that you think you would like, the hope that is truly hope. There's a few things that you can do. In a moment, I'm just going to pray and you can join in and pray with me. Or you might want to just over this Christmas time think a little bit more. You might want to do some reading. We'd love to give you a little booklet that says, why Christmas? What is Christmas all about? Just ask one of us at the back and we'd love to give you one. Or maybe you just like to talk to one of us. Talk to the person you came with. Talk to me, talk to Eleanor, talk to anyone who looks vaguely friendly. And say, what does Christmas hope look like for you? Or maybe you just might want, as the new year begins after Christmas, to do some exploring. And you'd be very welcome just to come back and explore with us week by week, Sunday by Sunday. We think life with Jesus is an adventure. And we always love having new people come and adventure with us, explore with us. You don't have to have things sewn up. You can just come and keep asking those questions. Believe that the Lord of the universe came to this earth that first Christmas to offer us hope, hope in him. It's a great offer, and it's one that is for bringing us peace, life, for eternity. Amen.